you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Oh, it's a wonderful Friday morning. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day. TGIF. It's going to be an interesting weekend this weekend. Temperatures in the 60s. Oh, a wonderful fall weekend. We could see some rain on Sunday, and temperatures continue to be about in the 50s, mid-50s, as we hit the first part of next week. So that's something we can look forward to. We are here to bring encouragement and education to you. And I'm telling you, with all of this election stir, right, all the information out there about what's happening during this election, now registration has closed as we're now looking towards getting our ballots in the mail any day. I don't know about you, but I got a couple booklets in the mail. I got a Marion County booklet in the mail, and then I got the state voter guide, the pamphlet, and I thought it'd be really good today maybe to take some time to go through that. I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like school getting this big pamphlet of information. You're thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this? And so I thought maybe we could go through it together, and I brought in the studio with me a friend of the radio station, and you probably know her, Cynthia Ramirez. She is one of our she's a sales manager here at KSLM. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How was your drive in this morning?
Wonderful.
Oh, good. Tell me, what's the morning like at your household, getting ready and all the kiddos and stuff? Talk to me a little bit about your life.
It is busy, busy. First thing in the morning, our puppy wants to go out. So that wakes me up. And then from there, we just breakfast and right to school. We've homeschooled before this crazy pandemic, so it made it really easy just to move right into that.
That sounds fun and adventurous. I remember you have 6 children, right?
Yes.
I remember the days of 5 kids, and I didn't homeschool. I wasn't that brave, but I had 5 kids in 5 different schools at one time.
Oh, boy.
And I worked a full-time job. So when I watched you in and out of the office and you and your husband partner well with your kids, and you team up so good, and you're helping each other out, and he comes in, and I just get this big smile on my face because I remember the day, which seems like it was a long time ago. It really wasn't. And juggling all of that, I'm just very proud of you. Thank you for taking the time to be here with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So you decided to get a puppy, and you have a baby. That's a big... Tell me how that's changed in your house a little bit.
Yes, my daughter, she is 11, and she just begged and begged and begged, and I finally gave in.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an adorable little puppy.
What's the dog's name?
Duke.
Duke. Oh,
yes.
Is Duke going to be a big puppy eventually?
Standard poodle.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that'll be fun. How did
yes.
you come to a poodle decision?
I was recommended to get a poodle if I get any type of dog.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Sarah actually has 2 dogs, and she has 2 poodles, and mm-hmm. she said, if you're going to get any dog, it would be silly to get anything but a poodle.
That's fantastic.
So,
well, cool. And it's only been, a week or so that you've had this puppy?
I think, 3 weeks.
3 weeks
yeah.
already. Boy, time flies
yeah.
when I'm not having a dog.
Right? But it has been so much fun.
And the kids are loving it.
Loving
oh,
him.
Oh, I think yes. pets with children are just a natural thing.
Yes.
It's good for them. They learn responsibility. They learn to care for something beyond themselves.
Yep.
You know, things like that. So you say you've been homeschooling, and I know you guys work as a team and accomplishing that with your kiddos. And so you get here and you go forth with your day, and your role is to connect with businesses who want to partner with us, right?
Yes.
And what's the most rewarding part of working with businesses?
Is when they say, oh my gosh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am seriously seeing a difference, and I am so happy to put my advertising dollars with you guys.
That's awesome. And I know for me, connecting with businesses, having them in the studio, talking to them, finding out what their passion is, what their dream is, finding out their story.
Mm-hmm.
That's a powerful thing, coming alongside and helping businesses. We really have a fun job, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Plus, we get to talk about some of our favorite things, right? Politics.
Oh, yeah.
And we're free to talk about our faith, too, right?
Yep.
So those are things pretty important to both of us, huh?
Yes.
So when we look at this guide, and we're looking at this, voter guide or pamphlet, it comes in the mail. It's a little overwhelming. I don't know, when you got it in the mail, what did you think when you first saw it?
I kind of expected a lot of the information, but when I came across the different parties. I was intrigued.
Intrigued. That's good.
Yes. The Progressive Party just really threw me
off. What about it that threw you off?
Well, what really stuck out to me was the gentleman that is running for president under the Progressive Party.
Oh, yeah?
And what he stands for is just absolutely shocking that he would even be eligible.
Stating that? Talk to me a little bit about it. What is he saying?
It's the reparations to end the genocide against black and brown people.
Mm.
I was unaware that we had genocide going on in our country
now. Yes.
And under their 4D plan, he plans to demilitarize, defund, disestablish, and devolve police power.
Mm.
So, and free college.
Oh, wow. When we look at the voter pamphlet, Cynthia, you know, it's a little overwhelming, and there's all kinds of information in here. And you took note of all the different parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's like how many parties? There's in Oregon alone, normally people hear of two parties, right? Republican and Democrat. But here in Oregon, there's choices.
There are a lot.
We have what? The Constitution Party, Democrat Party. And folks, we're literally looking through this book together right now. Independent Party, Libertarian Party, Pacific Green Party, Progressive Party. And then there's the Republican Party, Working Families Party, and then that's it. And so that's all of the parties. And for the presidential, when we look at the presidential race, so if we start there, there's however many candidates. We, of course, know the Republican is Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and then Joe Biden, Kamala Harris under the Democrats. And then there's a Libertarian candidate, Joe Jorgensen. I haven't heard anything about Joe Jorgensen. She's with the Libertarian Party. And then Howie Hawkins is with the Pacific Green Party. And then a gentleman by the name of Dario Hunter with the Progressive Party. And so just looking at our presidential candidates here and who we have to choose from in Oregon, of course, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, they're the incumbents. The challengers, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And I'm curious, Cynthia, to find out, have you always been a Trump? Have you always thought Republican? Have you always been supportive? What are your thoughts there? Has it been a progress or?
I've always been a Republican, considered myself conservative,
mm-hmm.
being raised in a Christian household my whole life. That's just the beliefs that I grew up with, and they align with the Republican mm-hmm. side. But I wasn't a huge fan of Donald Trump when he first ran for office, as many of us weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, he wasn't the ideal candidate because of his loudness and the way he has been in the past, but he got things done, and I've grown to actually love him.
Well, and he is one of the rare individuals who's held the title of president that actually did what he said he was going to
mm-hmm.
do, right?
Yep.
We might not like how his personality is necessarily or how he comes across, kind of that gruff New Yorker, rough and gruff and his sarcasm and stuff we don't quite get because we're not from there, right? But he's a businessman and he gets it done. And I'm reminded he's the only man president we've had that's moved into government housing because
mm-hmm.
he lived a life of luxury.
Yep.
And so he really is, he didn't have to do this and he stepped up because he loved our country. And of course, Mike Pence, what's your thoughts on Mike Pence?
Oh, he is just got fantastic character.
Yes. And you know, he used to be a talk show host in
mm-hmm.
Indiana.
Yep.
Yeah, he got a start in talk radio and held elected positions. And he was the governor of Indiana and congressman for Indiana's 6th congressional district. So it says here, prior government experience for Mike Pence, and list that. Go back over to President Trump. Prior government experience.
None. I love it.
Then you jump over to the other page, and it's Joe Biden, Democrat, right? Prior government experience, U.S. Senator, Newcastle County Councilman, Delaware Public Defender's Office. And so we know
know that he's been in office of some capacity, certainly in D.C. for over 40 years,
way
47 years, right?
Yep.
And then you look over at Kamala Harris, a Democrat as well, prior governmental experience, Attorney General of California, District Attorney of San Francisco, Deputy District Attorney of Alameda County. And she's the U.S. Senator currently in California. And interesting at their statements and what they say. And I think it's important as we evaluate who we're going to vote for that we read through this booklet and really get familiar. Turning the page over to Jo Jorgensen, libertarian, she's currently a senior lecturer in psychology at Clemson University. Prior governmental experience, I was a candidate for the House of Representatives in South Carolina in 1992 and appeared on all 50 state ballots as a libertarian candidate for vice president in 1996. So she really hasn't held any public office, but she's running for on the libertarian ticket, and I haven't heard anything about her. Howie Hawkins, Pacific Green Party. What does it say there? What does it say for his prior?
3-time Green Party candidate for New York governor in 2010, 2014, and 2018, each time receiving enough votes to qualify the Green Party for the ballot for 4 years. First U.S. candidate to campaign for a Green New Deal in 2010.
So again, no experience there, but on the ticket. And then we jump up to the Progressive Party and this Dario Hunter. What is his experience?
It looks like Youngstown, Ohio Board of Education from 2016 to current 2020, former chair of the Mahoning Valley Pride Center.
And his occupation is rabbi. So there's some interesting information here on each of the presidential candidates. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day. We're kind of going through, just taking a real heart-to-heart look at this voter's pamphlet election guide that we've all been receiving in our mail and going through the list of candidates and kind of talking about them and just kind of a neutral position looking at it and any information that comes to mind. And I think it's helpful that you pull that out. As soon as we get our ballot, we make our vote and our selection and we get it into our county courthouse. Here's a great clip from David Barton with Wall Builders on why we as people of faith should vote.
It's election time. The general election is coming up, but early voting has already started in a number of states. And anytime we come to an opportunity to vote, there's two questions you have to ask. Should I vote? And two, who should I vote for? On the first one, should I vote? I have a good friend, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, and he points out that in Hebrew, Hebrew is the language God spoke. It's what he said. And he said in Hebrew, there's a lot of words we use today that you cannot say in Hebrew, like the word coincidence. It doesn't exist in Hebrew. Never crossed God's mind something was a coincidence. He plans things. In the same way, he said, you cannot say the word rights in Hebrew. He said all you can say is responsibility. Now, that's important. We don't have a right to vote. We have a responsibility to vote. When we have a right to vote, we act like it's our prerogative. I don't think I'll use my right to vote. No, you have a responsibility to vote. This is stewardship. God gave you that stewardship. You have to exercise that stewardship. So one, you have to vote. Number two, who should I vote for? Wrong question. The question is, what should I vote for? We're told in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts a nation. Now, there's a lot of issues that come up in any election. 20, 30, 40 issues will be discussed at some point. What you've got to do is look for issues of righteousness. God gave 613 laws to his people to guide the nation. It deals with immigration, and it deals with business and education and military. But then he came back and said, oh, by the way, here's my top 10. We call them the 10 commandments. So you take the first commandment. First commandment says, I am the Lord thy God. That's about acknowledging him. That's the right of religious freedom, the right to acknowledge God. And it doesn't matter who's running for office, whether it's a dog catcher or whether it's a U.S. senator, you want to find out where they are on public religious acknowledgement. If they think kids shouldn't be able to say God at school or we shouldn't have nativity scenes in public or whatever, that's a problem because the first thing is acknowledge God. Later in the Ten Commandments, the Bible tells us don't commit adultery. Now, what's that? Don't commit adultery. God says, listen up, here's the deal. I want sexual relations confined to a man and a woman in marriage. Anything outside of that is wrong, whether it's premarital sexual activity, whether it's sexual activity outside of marriage like adultery, or whether it's homosexual activity. Anything that is not a man and a woman inside of marriage, God says is wrong. So where's the Canada on traditional marriage, traditional value, traditional sexuality? That's a righteousness issue. And also the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill. And in Hebrew, the word is murder. Thou shalt not murder. You don't shed innocent blood. What's an issue that we deal with today that would involve shedding innocent blood? Certainly the abortion issue. So find out where they are on abortion. election issue. And again, if they're on school board, anywhere else, you want to find out where they are on righteousness issues, because that tells you their worldview. So when it comes time to vote, where do you get good information on the candidates? A good place is ChristianVoterGuide.com. You go there, you get all sorts of information on where the candidates stand on issues of righteousness. And remember, it's not who you're voting for, it's what you're voting for.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and we're continuing the conversation looking at the voter's pamphlet guide here in Oregon, the Oregon general election, of course, November 3rd. And in just a few days, we'll start getting the ballots in our home. And I'm encouraging you, I can't say it enough, once you get your ballot and it arrives, make sure you sit down right away and make your selections, vote, and then hand deliver your voter, your ballot to your county clerk and get it in right away. Don't count on the mail to get it back. And if you need someone to help you with that, I encourage you to connect with a friend or family that you trust to get your ballot in, because this is so urgent and so important. Continuing on with the voter pamphlet, we got as far as the House race, the 5th district race in our area here, and now we're looking at the Secretary of State, which is an incredibly important position in our state of Oregon. Now, Oregon is unique compared to other states that I have lived in. I've lived in South Dakota, Arkansas, Idaho, and California when I was younger. And here in Oregon, we do not have a governor and a lieutenant governor. And so if anything happened with our governor, which we've had some history of that in the past, the Secretary of State gets appointed for that leadership position in our state. So it's not just like someone looking over, you know, the corporations and the business side and doing audits and elections and all those things that are important, particularly this next season. They're going to be looking at how do we measure out every 10 years. They look at the redistricting and how and all those figures of how we are represented at the state house. And so it's very critical that we get the right person in for Secretary of State. With that said, there are four people, I believe, that are going for the Secretary of State position. The first one is Natalie Paravinci. Does that sound right to you, Cynthia? She's in the studio with me helping me go through this. She is with the, which party is she with?
The Pacific Green. Okay. And Progressive. Apparently you can be part of more than one party.
Oh, I guess you can register with two parties or represent two parties. She is a naturopathic doctor. And it says she has been a former treasurer, Gulf Coast Houston Association of Smog Prevention, Gulf Coast Chip Coalition, Episcopal Health Charities Technical Advisory Committee. And so she is wanting to be the Secretary of State. And then the next gentleman is, who is he?
Kyle Markley.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a libertarian.
Okay. What's his background?
He
looks like he has never been in elected office, right?
Nope.
And he is a microprocessor debug engineer.
So he works for
computers,
Intel.
And has his degree from a computer science degree from Iowa State University. So he is going for Secretary of State on the Libertarian ticket. And then we have, who's the next one?
Our lovely Kim Thatcher.
Mm-hmm. She's our Republican and independent representative for Secretary of State. And what's her educational background?
She is construction projects management.
Mm-hmm. And she went to Portland State and the Oregon City High School. She's, what's her governmental experience?
State representative from 2015 to 2014 and Help America Vote Act State Steering Committee.
And it is, say that one more time, state representative from when?
2005 to 2014.
And she currently has been on Senate Judiciary, Senate Wildfire Reduction Recovery, Joint Committee, Legislative Audits, Joint Committee, Legislative Council, Public Records Subcommittee, Oregon Transparency Commission, Public Records Advisory Council, and involved with the National Association of Women in Construction. So she has been married 36 years, mother, grandmother, and she has her own business, plus she's the a state senator from District 13. And so she is well-versed in Oregon government, knows how it should work, and has been involved in committee work. And then we go over to the next candidate. She's also been well-known here in our state of Oregon in government. What is her name?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay. Her name is Shamaya Fagan. And she's a Democrat and Working Families Party representative. And this is interesting. You had an interesting comment on that, right?
Yes. It's just interesting to me that you can identify with more than one party. And what really I took note of was that the Working Families Party attaches itself to all of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And working families, that sounds appealing. Does that mean? What does that mean that
when
we
you
don't
go,
stand for them?
You go back to working families in that name, and it's very, very clever. When you look at their priorities, in my evaluation of it, it looks a little socialist. And maybe I'm wrong, and I'd be glad to talk to someone from that party to get corrected and clarify it, but the kinds of things that they're looking for, and it's interesting how they say everybody should be, every party that I know is what for the working family, you know, and they're just capitalizing on that. Now, this particular candidate, she's her occupation is senator and civil rights attorney, okay? So she's got a legal background and a legislature. She went to Lewis and Clark Law School. And she's been David Douglas School Board state representative. And she says she's grown up in poor in rural Oregon, raised by her single dad while her mom battled addiction and homelessness. So she's got a background here in Oregon. She has a real social justice background, too. And she's been in leadership here in the state. Now, here's interesting. I didn't see... you know, they're putting at the bottom who's endorsing them. And I think it's interesting to note under Kim Thatcher, endorsed by the Oregon Coalition of Police and Sheriffs, endorsed by Oregon Moms Building Excellent Schools Together, Local Jobs Matter, Unified Business Oregon. That's on Kim Thatcher. And then you look at the endorsements for Shamaya Fagan. And of course, we see all the commercials and things, right? So this is the contested race. The others are still trying for Secretary of State, and they have every right to do so. But look at her endorsements. Senators Ron Wyden in Merkley, Senator Mark Hass, Oregon Nurses Association, Oregon State Fires Council, American Federation of Teachers, Planned Parenthood, PAC of Oregon. This is unique. Oregon League of Conservation Voters, former Secretaries of State Gene Atkins, Bill Bradbury, and Barbara Roberts. So there are some endorsements. The part that it jumps out at me is that she's been endorsed by Planned Parenthood PAC. So you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're going to continue the discussion about who's running in this election and going through the pamphlet and voter's guide. It can be a little bit overwhelming, but we're going to continue through. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day, TGIF. A special shout out this morning to Bill Sunderland with Country Financial. Thank you, Bill, for sponsoring our morning show, brought to you by Sunderland Agency. And you can get a hold of Bill by checking out his brand new website, sunderlandagency.com. Give him a call at 503-885-0789. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And I also want to let you know that there's some things happening this weekend. I don't know what your plans are, but don't forget about that fun family time in Almsville. It looks like the weather's going to cooperate, at least for the most part through Saturday. Sunday it might be a little rainy, but this activity in Almsville is on Saturday, and it's a fundraiser for Almsville for the wildfire families all affected throughout the canyon, teaming together with the Sanium Hospital, and they have the Wildfire Fund. So excited to hear what's going to happen on Saturday with raising money to help these families affected. It's going to be a great time. So that is 9 a.m. on Saturday in Almsville. And then our friends with Kicking Cancer, they're doing the Loving Walk and Run at the Salem-Kaiser Volcano Stadium, kicking off at 9 a.m. You want to check in at 8 a.m. You can bring a team of friends and family, or you can come as an individual, but I think it would be a great time to represent and honor those that we know and love that have contended with cancer. More details at kicking-cancer.org/programs. And don't forget, at 40 Days for Life, at Planned Parenthood, they're having the prayer vigil continuing on and through the November 1st date, and it's from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I encourage you to get involved if you've not had a chance to go and spend some time in prayer there. We are all joining together to pray for the end of abortion, not only in Oregon, in our own community, in our state, in our nation, and around the world, that hearts would be changed and babies and mama's lives will be saved. We are having a good time, Cynthia and I. Cynthia is our sales manager here at KSLM Radio. She connects with businesses and helps advertisers advertise and promote their business on the air here at the radio station. And we're so glad to have you here in the studio with me as we continue the journey through this book. Oh my goodness, how you doing with it so far?
Good.
You enjoying it so far?
I am.
Yeah, and it's an education, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So we've gone kind of through the presidents, right? We were looking at the different parties and things, and it is kind of interesting as we move through into some of the other races. One of the notes that you'd mentioned is all the different parties there are. There are like six different official parties in the state of Oregon, and you had an interesting comment about that. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes, I find it actually pretty alarming for there to be so many parties, because then it splits the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the Democrats will stick together and vote the Democratic nominee. And I see the Republican vote being split so often, which is why we don't get the office.
Well, and there was an article in the newspaper, I don't think I have it right here with me, but it said that there's over a million Democrats in this state and about 900,000 Republicans, and then all the others are fit in there, then unaffiliated or not really with a party. And it's interesting because we have over 4 million people in the state of Oregon, so that there's a lot of folks that aren't even registered to vote. And so you're absolutely right. If the vote is split, that can cause a disunity and difficulty. But as you look through and continue to look through the guide and the pamphlet, and we start getting into the Senate races, right? The next thing is we have the president, and then starting on what page is it? The next page is 30. We start getting into the Senate, and this is something interesting. And if folks get into their book and they say, okay, there's a Senate race, Joe Ray Perkins and Jeff Merkley, and you're thinking, where's Joe Ray's picture? Well, here's a little information and a backstory on that. Joe Ray got her information in, submitted what she needed to do, either have it by petition, or sometimes if they don't get enough signatures to be in the voter pamphlet, then they have to pay a price to be in the voter pamphlet, and it's significant. I don't know exactly the amount. I think it's over $1,000 or plus. It's maybe for the higher races, even higher than that. And so she's done what she needed to do to get in the pamphlet. And then when she went to submit her picture, in fact, she's going to be in the studio next week, so we'll find out the real details from her live and in person. But somehow there was trouble with the computer, with uploading it online. Imagine that.
Why am I not surprised?
Right? Because what other computer issues have we had in Oregon?
Lots.
Yeah, we've had what?
Unemployment.
And yep. The DMV. There's been a fiasco.
Department of Human Services got hacked.
Yes. Yep. So it's no surprise, but how sad for me in my mind, if I was the Secretary of State and the person in charge, and people made that effort to get their written part in, I would certainly say, get me your picture, we'll make it happen.
Yes.
And go that extra mile. But it seems like anything in my mind a Republican tries to do, there's opposition at every corner. So Joe Ray Perkins is running, and her occupation is retired, but she has a background in insurance, financial advising, banking, realtor, office management, support, business owner, and her educational background is very good too. Plus, she's had experience in government, Albany Human Relations Commission, Albany Visitors Association board member, Senior Services, Cascades Well Cascades West Council of Government board member and supporting other numerous community services and nonprofit. And I know she's also been involved in the Republican Party. So that's a good background. And then she is opposing an incumbent, the Democrat, who's been there for many, many years. What's his background? What does it say there for him?
He is a state representative and Oregon House Speaker.
Mm-hmm. And he is Portland Habitat for Humanity background, Pentagon, Congressional Budget Office, World Affairs Council of Oregon. So he is entrenched. I would say he's been there. He's kind of a part of, he's almost like a monument himself, right? Because mm-hmm. he's been there for a while. And again, I think that and I've seen this, and not only here, but also in South Dakota, that there's, when you have incumbents who've been a part of the establishment for so long, they know how to, it's like they know how to play the game. Like when the wildfires happened and all of these local people were rolling up their sleeves and the candidates were getting involved and helping, they fly in for the photo op, right?
Oh, yeah.
and talk about what they are going to do to solve the problem after it's already happened. And that's kind of surprising. But we go along on the Senate race, and we were talking about the Pacific Green Party. They have a representative. What is his background here, it looks like? What does he do?
Oh, he has no government experience, which isn't always a bad thing.
No.
We know.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks like he's self-employed as a teacher.
Okay. And the Pacific Green Party, Ibrahim A. Tahar, if I'm saying that right, doesn't even really say where he's from, but he is a corporate-owned government, has decided to wage war on the people. So that same, it sounds very Democrat to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's running for peace, democracy, social and economic justice, and against the two-headed one-party system. And so he's running for Senate. And then also Gary Dye, what is his party affiliation?
Libertarian.
And his background is what? Candidate. It says prior government experience candidate, right?
Yep. And mm-hmm. his occupation, he's an engineer.
Okay. And he states, our country is disintegrating. Democrats and Republicans caused this, and they won't cure it. I will be your senator to try my hardest to prevent it. My opponent won't. It's business as usual for him. Business helping his career, his donors, and his party. And with his donors and party helping him in return. He doesn't care about you. He never did. I care about you, the individual. You are my special interest, my only interest. So that's Gary Dye, and that's the senators. And then you turn the page, and we have the U.S. Representative 5th District. And again, you have an incumbent in the 5th District, a Democrat. And his background is a veterinarian, small business farmer. He has a bachelor's degree from Cornell University, University of Illinois, and a doctor of veterinarian medicine. And his prior governor experience is state senator, state representative, co-chair, joint committee on Ways and Means, and Canby Planning Commission. And I'm going to bring up an article here in just a bit about him, because he has an article in the Lincoln County paper, and we'll look it up here in a minute and read it in the next segment, that I think is interesting. Let's talk about Amy. Of course, we've had her on the air here. Talk about Amy a little bit. What do we see here?
She is a champion for us Oregonians.
Mm-hmm. And she has some government experience, doesn't she?
She does. She has been on the Kaiser City.
Yep, as a counselor, the city council. Yep.
Marion County Safety Committee, mm-hmm. the Budget Committee, the Affordable Housing and Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm. And I know that she's a business owner and an author. And I love the fact that she is fighting for Oregonians. And of course, she's amyfororegon.com and Common Sense Leadership for Oregonians. And really, it's time to have some common sense leadership.
Yes.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. We're continuing to go through this voter pamphlet. I think it's interesting. It's kind of tough to digest. There's lots of information here. And I know when you get it, you might just set it aside and go, okay, I'll get it when I get my ballot. But I think it does us well to open it up, get a highlighter, and get some information in here. Because, you know, the next couple weeks, we're going to be having some of the candidates in. And I'll want you to call in and give some insight and ask some questions to these candidates based on the information that they're putting out in the public for them to consume. We're going to be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out in the studio this morning with Cynthia, and we're going through the voter's guide, and it is an interesting document, and a lot of work has been done by individuals who are wanting to earn your vote for this election, and we've gotten through quite a few of the names that are listed, and we're going to continue on the journey. Thank you, Cynthia, for being a part and kind of walking through this with me. I appreciate it because it's fun to have another perspective and another voice in here. And as we go through this, where are we at now? Who do we need to talk about?
We are on to the state treasurer.
Mm-hmm. How many people are going for state treasurer?
So it looks like there's four people running.
Okay. Go ahead.
We have Michael Marsh, who's a Constitution.
Mm-hmm. And he looks like he has some experience in the Army from 1968 to 1971 and has a Fullerton Junior College background. And he's retired and he worked in maintenance. And so that's Michael P. Marsh. And then Marsh, who's for the Democrat Party?
Tobias, did I say that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been with the Oregon State, he has been Oregon State Treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
His educational background, he went to the University of Washington and Willamette University. State Treasurer from 2017 to present. State Representative from 2007 to 2016. Oregon Innovation Council and the Oregon Business Development Commission.
Okay, so he's been the elected leader for a while in that state treasurer position. Challenging him as well is a gentleman by the name of Chris Henry, Independent Progressive Pacific Green. Those are all the different parties that he represents. Union truck driver. He's got prior government experience, boards, Oregon Consumer League, Oregon Voters Rights Coalition, neighborhood associations, and his civic leadership includes the Oregon Consumer League, voter rights, and a neighborhood. He is wanting your vote, and he said, vote for Main Street, not Wall Street. That's kind of creative, I think. I think that's a good statement to have. And then, who's the last candidate running?
We have Jeff Goodman. Is that how you say his last name?
Goodman, I think so. Goodman, yeah.
He is our Republican candidate.
Mm-hmm. What is his background?
His occupation is a financial and analyst and investor. His government experience is Lake Oswego City Council and Lake Oswego Budget Committee.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like good qualification. He's also been treasurer before, hasn't he?
Past treasurer of Legacy Emanuel Hospital Foundation, past treasurer of USA Olympic Swimming, past chair of Northwest Pilot Project, past chair, Financial Executives International Portland Chapter.
Well, he's got good background, and he said, not a career politician. For me, the treasurer's position is not a stepping stone to a higher office, and I couldn't agree more there. So
yes,
that's a good read on him. Then turning the corner, we're going into the attorney general position, and it's held by an incumbent right now, a gal by the name of Ellen Rosenblum, and she's representing the Democrat, Independent, and Work working families. She's Oregon Attorney General, prosecutor, private practice, trial and appellate court judge. Graduated from University of Oregon, bachelor's and her JD. Prior government, Oregon Attorney General, Oregon Court of Appeals Judge, Multnomah County District and Circuit Judge, Assistant United States Attorney. So she's got some background there. On the Republican ticket, we have a gentleman there. What's his background?
His background is a long one. He's got, well, for government experience, just the United States military.
Mm-hmm.
And then for occupational background, past United States Air Force, bio and green fuels developer, President Global Communications, President of Clearwater Resources Corporation, President of Pan Pacific Holdings, a property holding company, President Super Green Fuels, a company engaging in developing alternate energy, biodiesel, biomass waste to energy conversions using anaerobic digester.
Interesting.
Equipment.
Sounds like he's kind of in that green energy mm-hmm. area. He is a Republican running under the Republican ballot, Michael Cross. Now, here's something interesting I found out about him. Of course, I'm new to Oregon, so I'm learning how this all works. But apparently, you don't have to be an attorney to run for the Attorney General spot. I didn't realize that. I don't know how all works, but he is not currently an attorney. And so maybe that would bring different perspective in. I don't know, but that's something to think about. Now moving along, State Senator, 9th District. We have a candidate for the Democrat Pacific Green Party, Jim Hinspark is his name. And that's the 9th district. I'm not too sure where that's at, but he's for the Democrat Party. And then Frank Girard, I think is how you say his name. He's a state senator, retired dentist. He does have a little experience, and he's been in the Senate and House of Representatives and the State and City Council. Then we go over to the 10th district. This is kind of a heated debate. You and I have talked about this when we turn on YouTube or watching news or watching some clips. What do we see on YouTube before we can even watch what we were going to watch?
All I have ever seen recently is ads attacking the Republican candidates.
Yeah, and it's difficult for the Republican candidates to counter these messages, and they're not true. They're slanted, and it's troubling a little bit. But in this particular race for Senate, a state Senate, 10th district, Deb Patterson, Democrat working family. She is an ordained minister. And for me, I'm disappointed. You know, I don't like when people do attack ads. It doesn't draw me to them at all. It's one thing to talk about record and do, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm more towards the positive in what I'm going to do. And then I found out that this gal is a minister and doing attack ads. I was sad about that. You know,
they're
very sad.
They're very
negative,
yeah.
and hard to watch, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know that that's not the truth. So she is opposing the incumbent who was appointed because the gal that had held the position of 10th district in the Senate had passed away. And so Denise Bowles was appointed to this position. She's the Republican candidate. What's Denise's background?
Her past government experience is state representative, state budget committee member, public safety subcommittee Ways and Means, co-chair Senate Mental Health Committee, Senate Committee on Housing and Development, Marion County Budget Committee, and her occupation is Oregon State Senator.
And I do think, again, I think it's important to look at where people are, who's endorsing these folks. And Deb Patterson, even though she's a minister, she is endorsed by Planned Parenthood, whereas Denise, I know she is endorsed by Oregon Right to Life and several of the organizations that are for life and liberty in our state. Moving along, a state senator in District 12, Brian Boquist, a Republican independent, and Bernadette Hansen is the Democrat. I don't know much about this race. I haven't heard a lot about that race, but certainly you can read up about that. And we're pretty much gotten through. We haven't gotten completely through because we haven't even gotten to our very own candidate in where you and I live. And that is Brian Klem, the Democrat incumbent, and Jack L. Esp, who's the Republican challenger. Jack certainly has been on the air here and been interviewed by us. And, you know, he's wanting this position. And there was an article in the paper saying this isn't the first time he's challenged Brian for the seat. And so read up on them. I think it's important that we know. And we've just gotten, like I said, through some of this. There's lots of issues, too, that are going to be on the ballot. And they're explained, or they try to explain them here on another show. I'm going to bring someone in to kind of talk about the ballot issues. Cynthia, thank you for being a part of the show today and helping me kind of mull through some of these details on the candidates. What message do you have for folks today on voting?
Please make sure to know who you're voting for.
So
do your research.
Yes. Vote your values, right?
Yes. Don't just vote because their name says Democrat or Republican under it.
Do your research.
Yes.
Thank you for being here today. Have a wonderful day, Cynthia.
Thank you.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Don't forget all the fun activities going on at the Volcano Stadium, the Salem-Keizer, and certainly kicking cancer our friends there. And have a fantastic weekend. See you Monday. Remember, over, under, around, or through, you and I, we're overcomers.